expect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot, and Canada's too cold. And South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one. There'll be no one left to blame.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Bruce Blair, who's the president of the World Security Institute, a nonprofit organization he founded in 2000 to promote independent research and journalism on global affairs. He's executive producer of Countdown to Zero, a documentary film on nuclear weapons, which was released in 2010. He also created and was the executive producer of the PBS Weekly television series Superpower Global Affairs Television. For Global Superpower, Global Affairs Television. He was also the executive producer on two television documentaries, CNN Presents Deadlock, Russia's Forgotten War, and PBS's Frontlines, Missile Wars in 2002. Dr. Blair is the co-founder and coordinator of Global Zero, an international nonpartisan group of 300 world leaders dedicated to achieving the elimination of nuclear weapons. Welcome to Background Briefing, Bruce Blair.
Thanks a lot, Ian.
And your group, Global Zero, have just released a report on that basically calls for drastic reductions, large cuts in the U.S. nuclear arsenal. The title of the report is?
It's the Global Zero U.S. Nuclear Policy Commission report. It's a report of a group of Global Zero luminaries led by General James Cartwright, who recently retired as vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and previously served as the head of U.S. nuclear forces based in Omaha, Nebraska.
So you have a situation where senior American military officers are taking the position that less nuclear warheads in the American arsenal improves America's security?
Well, that's absolutely right. And not only some generals on this commission, but President Reagan's chief nuclear arms negotiator and Senator Chuck Hagel, Republican from Nebraska, and former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Thomas Pickering. So it's a very professional, esteemed group of moderate and even conservative figures who put forth a case that I think everyone pretty much can understand, that the Cold War is long over and that the bloated arsenals of the United States and Russia need to be further reduced rather sharply, and that we need to develop a strategy for the 21st century to address the real threats that the country faces, not to fight the old Cold War with a large nuclear arsenal. So it's really kind of a common sense report. It's just that it's so hard in Washington, D.C., and in Moscow, for that matter, for these security establishments to really take the leap into common sense and to take advantage of the end of the Cold War and to divert resources into the areas of that actually pose threats to our countries.
So again, I speak with Bruce Blair, who's the president of the World Security Institute, a nonprofit organization he founded in 2000 to promote independent research and journalism on global affairs. He's also the co-founder and coordinator of Global Zero, an international nonpartisan group of 300 world leaders dedicated to achieving the elimination of nuclear weapons. And Global Zero have just come out with a report today headed by the former commander of U.S. Nuclear forces, who's calling for large cuts in the nuclear war arsenal of the United States, down to 900 warheads. Is that what?
That's right. And an 80% reduction from the current levels. We call on Russia to take similar cuts to their arsenal. And really, the logic here again is to accelerate the process of dismantling the really truly bloated arsenals of the Cold War, and to get both sides down to a level below 1,000 total weapons of all categories that would engage the other nuclear weapons countries would bring us down to a level that would put us more or less into the same league with some other countries, and would provide a basis, a logic, a rationale for those other countries to join into the first in history multilateral negotiations for the reduction of nuclear weapons. Because, you know, the bilateral U.S.-Russia relationship really isn't the most important one today, in a way. The real big nuclear dangers that reside in the world today are found in places like South Asia, in Pakistan, which has a fast-growing nuclear arsenal.
My understanding is that the Pakistani arsenal has surpassed the arsenal of France and is close to the arsenal of Britain, and it is the fastest-growing arsenal in the world. In the notion of that the big guys, the Russians and the Americans, are not in a position to preach to others to give up their nuclear weapons when they have such extraordinary numbers, I take it that's at the heart of what you're proposing and what your study proposes. But how do you deal with the people like the Pakistanis? What kind of moral suasion is there? Assuming that we were able to cut our arsenals down, what's driving them, for example?
Well, what's driving them is a perceived threat from India, and the need in their view, and this is a country that's ruled by the military and thinks like military establishments think, that they need nuclear weapons to defend the country against an invasion by India if a conflict over Kashmir or some other conflict drove the two sides to the brink or over the brink of conventional war. And India has a vastly superior conventional forces. And so it's basically the thinking that the United States and NATO indulged in during the 1950s and 60s. You need nuclear weapons, in their view, to fend off a vastly superior conventional force. So there are definitely arguments to be made with each and every country with nuclear weapons, and there are 9 of them now. Every country has a different kind of calculus of the security of their country and the role of nuclear weapons in the defense of their country. And so you have to take these countries on a case-by-case basis. But if the United States and Russia really take the lead in this arena, I think that we can bring other countries into the process, particularly the United Kingdom and France and China. And as these other countries join a process, it becomes very, very hard for the others to stay on the sidelines.
Well, of course, Bruce Blair, when you mentioned that NATO doctrine, which was a first strike doctrine during the Cold War, which was predicated on the assumption that the Warsaw Pact had superior numbers in conventional arms, and of course, in retrospect, you know, the notion that the Poles and the Hungarians and all of those people would have died for the Russians is a little suspect, but there's obviously no way that you can persuade the Pakistanis, for example, that India may be less of a threat than the jihadis within their own country.
Well, it's a hard thing to sell. That's true, but the fact of the matter is that the biggest threat to Pakistan is internal, and it's chaos. It's the jihadist threat to the government. And if you travel around Pakistan, there are checkpoints everywhere, and policemen are checking under cars for bombs, and those are not Indian bombs that they're checking for. But somehow the Pakistani military cannot let go of its obsession with the Indian threat. But things change. I mean, views of security are radically changing. That's why Global Zero has so much traction around the world. In countries like India, where the nuclear program was very popular 10 or 15 years ago, you now find very senior Indian security experts with enormous experience, including the highest-ranking military officers, who believe that it's in India's best interest now to live in a world without nuclear weapons because of the emergence of the threat of nuclear terrorism, that Mumbai would possibly go up in radioactive smoke the next time instead of be attacked with small arms. And so that's a view that is also more and more prevalent in the United States, that the biggest threat to this country, nuclear threat, probably lies in the arena of nuclear terrorism rather than a deliberate attack by a country like Russia or China. So views are changing, and I think we have gained a lot of support around the world for the agenda of Global Zero. And the first step is to start reducing or make further reductions in U.S. and Russian forces, but it's also to bring all the countries with nuclear weapons into the dialogue.
Again, I'm speaking with Bruce Blair, who is the president of. Again, I'm speaking with Bruce Blair, who is the president of the World Security Institute, a nonprofit organization he founded in 2000 to promote independent research and journalism on global affairs. He is the co-founder and co-director of Global Zero, an international nonpartisan group of 300 world leaders dedicated to achieving the elimination of nuclear weapons. And he directed the study released today, headed up by former commander of the U.S. nuclear forces, that calls for a large cut in America's nuclear arsenal. Now, will you be able to sell this on the basis of saving money from the Pentagon? I mean, you know, they made that deal to sequester money if they couldn't come up with a budget agreement, and now the Republicans in the House are reneging on the deal on these automatic cuts and saying, well, we got to balance, you know, we can take money out of food stamps, etc. Surely this is a time to find some low-hanging fruit, isn't it, in terms of the defense budget?
And you're absolutely right. And it's not an argument that is hard to sell to the Pentagon, certainly if there's sequestration and severe cuts in defense spending. The hard choices are going to have to be made within the Pentagon. And even if the budget isn't squeezed quite that severely, there are still hard choices ahead. You simply cannot rebuild all of the nuclear forces that we currently deploy at sea and on land and in the air without virtually bankrupting the defense budget. For example, just to rebuild and replace Trident submarines that carry our long-range nuclear missiles at sea would consume about 75% of the Navy's entire shipbuilding budget for many years. The Navy, the military, uniformed military in the Navy, prefers to spend that money on weapons that they can use, not on weapons that they know can't be used. Nuclear weapons, in the eyes of the military, simply are not usable weapons. They're weapons for deterrence, and the number needed for deterrence is much smaller than we currently deploy. So there are really actually quite a lot of allies in the Pentagon for making the kind of choices that are laid out in this report.
Well, my understanding is that a lot of the submarines that used to have nuclear weapons aboard them have been converted to intelligence platforms. I mean, you know, since the end of the Cold War, we've still got a pretty robust fleet, don't we, of what they call boomers?
Yeah, those are submarines that carry missiles that have long range and are armed with nuclear weapons, and those are not used for surveillance platforms. It's a different category of submarine that's used for intelligence. But yeah, the boomers, which are these strategic offensive submarines are being converted. There used to be 18 of these Trident boomers. They're now 14 going down. Four of them have been converted to carry conventional cruise missiles. So a boomer that used to carry nuclear weapons now carries 150 Tomahawk cruise missiles that are armed with conventional weapons. So there's, you know, a transformation underway, converting nuclear to conventional. There's another big transformation underway, converting from offense to defense. And you know, the budget for these, for modernizing or replacing these weapons, the cost of that is really extremely high, and no one really believes that that the country can afford to replace all of these weapons, the submarines, the bombers, and the land-based rockets. There are going to have to be some real difficult choices made, and our report calls for entirely eliminating the land-based leg, the rockets, the missiles that are based in Montana and in North Dakota, in Wyoming, that are aimed at primarily at Russia.
So, Bruce Blair, the U.S. military are pushing this. They understand the need to do this, that it both saves money and it adds to our security. It may be a hard sell to conservatives and in the Senate and the House, particularly, I think, if there's not some reciprocity on the Russian side. What's the likelihood of reciprocity on the Russian side? Because you've got Putin, who is now being pretty smoked out, much smoked out as a kind of a gangster, and he's canceled his trip to Camp David, and he's not the most savory guy in the world. But what's the feeling within the Russian military?
Well, the Russian military wants to hold on to a large arsenal of so-called tactical weapons, the smaller weapons that they think they might have to use to defend their country from threats along their southern border, such as China. But there are a lot of weapons in the Russian inventory that are clearly aging, that have lost or are losing all of their military utility, even in the eyes of the Russian military. And the Russians understand also that these long-range rockets, whose main role is to fight a large-scale nuclear war with the United States, that's an obsolete, increasingly obsolete mission, that this idea of mutual assured destruction is no longer kind of the cornerstone of the relationship between our two countries, and that there's a lot of latitude to cut. Now, I think with leadership from the Obama administration, that the Russians will engage, and they will come around to agree to cut. Now, I think going down as low as we're proposing would be a very, very difficult negotiation. And we certainly are not advocating unilateral nuclear disarmament. We are calling on the Russians to come down to the same deep level of cuts.
Well,
but yeah, it's a tough sell there, and Russia has weakness in its conventional weapons, and its demographics are poor. They cannot field a large standing army any longer the way they once could. And so they psychologically feel that they depend more on nuclear weapons than they used to.
So, but the still U.S. plans could accommodate the notion that the Russians need their nuclear deterrent more than we do.
Well, I think we could appreciate that they don't have nearly as much confidence in their conventional forces, and I think that we have ample latitude to start cutting our nuclear forces unilaterally, and that we give Russia the opportunity to begin a cutting process at perhaps a somewhat slower pace, but there's plenty of room for maneuver here, in my opinion. Also, you know, it's expensive for the Russians as well, and they have actually a tough economy right now, and they could, and they're facing the same sort of choices to upgrade and modernize their nuclear weapons and replace them that we're facing, and so they have a lot of money to be saved by coming down with us.
Well, Bruce Blair, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure. I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
Again, I've been speaking with Bruce Blair, who's the president of the World Security Institute, a nonprofit organization that he founded in 2000 to promote independent research and journalism on global affairs. He is the co-founder and co-director of the Global Zero, an international nonpartisan group of 300 world leaders dedicated to achieving the elimination of nuclear weapons. And he directed the study just released today, headed by a former commander of U.S. nuclear forces, calling for large cuts in the U.S. nuclear arsenal. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about, in spite of this latest scandal on Wall Street, there are some people in Congress who want to deregulate derivatives even further.